Good morning, Bridge. I think I got a good question for us to consider this morning, and that is, what questions are we asking? I think it's important, the questions that we're asking, because the questions we're asking inform the answers that we're living. I mean, for example, if you're constantly thinking about, you know, how do I become a millionaire, then you're probably going to spend a lot of time saving, investing, and attaining money so that you can become that one day. But I love that old saying that says, we're never going to get the right answers if we're asking the wrong questions. Or I love what Albert Einstein said when he said, if I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on the solution, I'd spend the first 55 minutes determining the proper question to ask. For once I know the proper question, I could solve the problem in less than 5 minutes. Well, today we're going to start our 2021 t-shirt series, and we're calling it The Most Important Question. Now, if you've been around Bridge for very long, you know that our t-shirt series is simply the longest series of the year. And at the end of it, we commemorate it with a t-shirt that we give everybody. And so this is our t-shirt series, The Most Important Question. And we're going to come back to this series over and over again throughout this year. But let's go ahead and dive in. What do you think is the most important question? If you're joining us on Zoom this morning, we're going to pause the video right now. I want you to think about that and type your response in the chat. Or if you're with some people right now, talk about it with them and then type your response in the chat. Or if you're joining us on our podcast, just pause it right now and think for a second. Go ahead and do that. You know, I wonder if you all did what I did and did a quick internet search. I know one of the sites that popped up for me was a philosophy website where people put in their different answers to what's the most important question and their reasons why. Hey, here's some of their most important questions. What counts as a good reason? How can we best serve others? Or this one sounds familiar, you probably heard it from your kids. But why? Or how about, is there some property or some rational conceptual definition which grounds morality? What one goal do I want to accomplish in life? What is your God? What do we do now? Or what do we do with knowledge? I kept searching for some of those answers or questions, and one that came up over and over was, why is the child crying? It's an interesting question. There was another one that was very political in nature. It's obviously divided our country over this last week and even over these past months, is what kind of nation do we want to live in? And of course, people's answers is what divides us. And I also ran across this question for leaders. Why do you want to lead others? I mean, I think all of those are good questions. And if I've done a remotely decent job thus far in my intro, then hopefully you're already wondering, what's the most important question that we're going to discuss? But let's be real. I mean, if I tell you on the very first week what the most important question is, what's to say that you're going to tune in the rest of the year? And then again, maybe I just want to be straight up with you. Maybe I want to just be upfront so that you can spend the coming months thinking and reconsidering your answer to this most important question. Because after all, your answer determines how you live. Well, that's what I want to do. I just want to be upfront today. And not only do I want to give you what I believe to be the most important question, but I'm also going to give you the answer. You see, because the most important question and the answer go hand in hand. If you don't agree with the answer, then you're not going to think this is the most important question. But I want to challenge you that whether or not you agree this is the most important question and its answer, I want you to really think and contemplate and consider and even reconsider your answer to this question. You know, while there are lots of scriptures that we could point to for the most important question and its answer, I want to dive into one book of the Bible that is completely framed around the most important question, and that's the Gospel of Mark. In fact, the Gospel of Mark is kind of shaped like Jeopardy. You get the answer before you get the question. And the answer comes in the very first verse of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus Christ, Son of God. When I say Jesus Christ, Son of God, that's actually saying a lot. Jesus means the Lord saves. Christ means Messiah, or the anointed one. That is the long-awaited deliverer. And Son of God, that's imperial language. It's a term that was used even of the Emperor of Rome. And so essentially, this Jesus Christ, the Savior, the long-awaited deliverer, he is the true emperor, or he's the true king over all. Well, that's the answer, but the question doesn't really come until chapter 8, where Jesus is with his disciples, and he discusses with them this question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" And immediately after that, the most important question, which is, "Who do you say I am?" And if you fast forward in the Gospel of Mark to the very end, and the end is really the most controversial ending of any book in the New Testament, I believe it's meant to be a cliffhanger, which draws the reader in and demands the reader answer the question too. Okay, now that you've heard all this, who do you say that Jesus is? So the movement of the Gospel of Mark, it goes like this. Here's the answer. Here's who Jesus is. Here's what people and the powers, here's who they thought Jesus was. And now, what do you say? Who do you say that Jesus is? And so today we begin our journey. In a sense, we actually continue our journey because we looked at the first part of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark back at Advent. When we looked at John the Baptist baptizing by the Jordan for the forgiveness, a baptism of forgiveness and repentance, and awaiting the one who would one day baptize with the Holy Spirit. In our text today, as you just heard before the message, we are there. This is the baptism of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has descended in the form of a dove. And you all, there's so much we could say about the baptism of Jesus. I mean, this is one of the clearest places we see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit converging. We could talk about and explore the question that seems important, like, why is Jesus even getting baptized? I mean, a baptism of repentance and forgiveness, and John's administering this baptism, like, why does Jesus need to get baptized? And we could talk about, you know, he's fulfilling all righteousness, and we could talk about how this is like his coming out, his going public, the sort of ordination of Jesus in which he's being sent out for his mission and his ministry that is his to accomplish. We could talk about how Jesus is embodying the story of the Exodus. I mean, he's passing through the waters, and he, right after this, goes into the wilderness. And of course, we could talk about the fact that this is the Jordan River. The Jordan was the threshold from the wilderness to the promised land, and how in Jesus, he is new life. He is the threshold of new life. I mean, we could talk about the model and the pattern of baptism, and how it's not just the Spirit that descends on Jesus, but we could jump to Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit also descends on his followers, and they proclaim the glories of God. And people are baptized, bearing their old lives and being resurrected as beloved sons and daughters, joining this adopted family and being sent on this and continuing this ministry and this mission of Jesus. There's so much we could talk about in this, but today I just want to talk about this one thing, and that is Jesus's baptism as a breakthrough. You see, because it's here at Jesus's baptism, it's here in Jesus that the presence of God is breaking through into the lives of unsuspecting people in unsuspecting places. You know, while all the Gospels give an account of Jesus's baptism, Mark's Gospel is the only one that describes it in terms of the heavens being torn open. And that word torn open is the breakthrough. It's God breaking into humanity in power. It's like I imagine that the world has wrapped itself in sin and brokenness. And this moment is where God just tears it open and enters in and empowers Jesus. And through Jesus, people will then hopefully experience a breakthrough. The presence of God breaking through in the lives of people, unsuspecting people, in unsuspecting places. And so this word torn is actually a key word that we should connect in the Gospel of Mark. And that's what I want to do today. I mean, here at the baptism, the heavens are torn, and God's presence in the Holy Spirit, we see the Spirit descending. But I want us to fast forward and look at what happens and how people respond to this inbreaking power and presence of God in Christ. If you jump to Mark chapter 14, towards the end of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been betrayed by Judas, arrested under the cover of night, and he's going to a false trial by the religious leaders. And there's this encounter with the high priest that I want us to look at in Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 60 and following. It says, "The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?'" If you notice, that's the answer that we looked at to the most important question. He's asking him, "Are you that answer?" And Jesus affirmed it when he said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You've heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. You all, the high priest tore his garments. That is, he rejected the presence of God in Christ, rejecting Jesus as a blasphemer. All right, if you skip to the next chapter, chapter 15, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been crucified. But look at what it says in chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. It says, "Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.'" You all, Jesus is crucified and breathes his last, but notice what's torn. The curtain of the temple is torn in two. And this curtain is that veil, that curtain that separates the Holy of Holies from, like, the holy place from the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. This is the place where it was thought the presence of God dwelt, and no one could enter that place except the high priest, and him only once a year. Of course, we've already seen the high priest's response to Jesus and his rejection of the inbreaking presence of God. So here we see Jesus, after he breathes his last, we see God breaking out of the box and the confines that he's been placed in and breaking into the life of this Roman centurion. I mean, think of this. The Roman centurion is one of those powers that's subduing Israel. I mean, he's there instrumental in the crucifixion and execution of Jesus, and yet God is breaking in. You all, this is something we're going to see over and over through the Gospel of Mark. I mean, those who we expect should get this, like the high priest, miss it. And those that we would think would miss it, get it. I mean, the Roman centurion is the first human in the Gospel of Mark to affirmatively say, "Jesus is the Son of God." And over, we're going to see in the Gospel of Mark that the people we think should be insiders seem to be outsiders. And those who are outsiders seem more like the ones who are insiders. Which brings us back to Mark chapter 1, verse 9, when it says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee." That is to say, it wasn't from Judea and from Jerusalem. Jesus is coming from the outskirts, from further out, and he was baptized by John, who was a priest's son, but John doesn't look like a priest, as we've talked about, and he's out in the wilderness. You see, what we see there at Jesus' baptism is what we end up seeing there at the crucifixion, that God is breaking out and breaking into places that we don't suspect, that we least expect, which brings us back to this question: who is Jesus? I mean, who is Jesus? Well, I can tell you who he's not. He's not the one that can be placed in a box. He's not the one we take and say he only works with these people in these places. He only works with the holy. In fact, the smaller the box we draw around God's presence breaking, being able to break through, the more that we are personally at risk of missing him altogether. I mean, the more likely we'll end up putting God on trial, pulling open, tearing open our self-righteous garments only to be torn open by Jesus Christ and judged by him. In other words, in Christ, the presence of God is tearing into this broken world. And don't think for a second that he's incapable of breaking through in your life or in the life of those that you consider absolutely despicable. I mean, if God's breaking through after his very last breath, Jesus on the cross, he's breaking through to a Roman executioner, and that means God's probably breaking through in those places with those people that we cringe at. He's breaking into the lives of liberals or Trump supporters or those who've committed abortions or those who are racists or agender, cisgender, or transgender, or those who are violent protesters, or the adulterers, or the murderers, or those who are devoted to their devotions, and to those who are lukewarm and half-hearted and hanging on by a thread. And I certainly hope he's also breaking through still, hopefully, in the lives of even priests and pastors. Although the Gospel of Mark, the stats don't seem so good. You all, the Lord saves and he delivers. He's the one we've longed for. He's the true king. He's the true emperor. He's better than any outgoing or incoming president. He is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And he still wants to break through in our lives even now. And he wants to use you to break through in the lives of other people, to carry his presence to those unsuspecting people and unsuspecting places. And can I say, perhaps even if a breakthrough is happening right now in your life and in your mind and your heart as you contemplate this all-important question, who is Jesus, that you would surrender your life, you would bury that old life because he's torn into yours right now, and you would give over your life to him, be resurrected as a beloved child of God, adopted into his family, and sent out in ministry and mission to those people and places that we might even reject. We might even say there's no way God can work there. May it be so in your life, and may we experience new life as we realize the answer to the most important question this year.